Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice, the Nylander saga is over. What's the fantasy impact? Philip Forsberg out 4 to 6 weeks. Ilya Kovalchuk out 4 weeks. Who are the best replacement options? Plus, waiver wire targets, daily fantasy picks, and more. NHL Fantasy on Ice starts now.
Pete Jensen and Rob Reese here with you for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice. We're recording this episode on Monday evening. Thanks, as always, for joining us. And Rob, it came straight down to the wire, but the William Nylander saga is finally over.
It is, and I have to say, I fell victim to refreshing my Twitter feed every 15 seconds on Saturday, but it is finally over. William Nylander signed a 6-year deal there, so everybody in the Keeper League, this is when you perk up. And you feel good for holding on to William Nylander this year. And I reckon even in season-long leagues, you're feeling pretty good now that this thing is over.
And an instant jump into the top 50 forward rankings. They're hot off the press on NHL.com/fantasy. Check them out. Rob and I were working on those this afternoon. William Nylander, right off the bat, the expectation is to play with Austin Matthews. That's a spot occupied this season, mostly on the left side by Patrick Marleau, but on the right side by Kasperi Kapanen. Obviously, this hurts Kasperi Kapanen's value. He's been a great story, two-way player, emerging, young guy, but unfortunately, he's probably going to take a back seat here to Nylander.
I agree. It does hurt his value, and I would expect Coach Mike Babcock to go back to the lines that we saw the Toronto Maple Leafs use all season last year, where it was Patrick Marleau with Austin Matthews and William Nylander on the right side. I think that's what we're going to see, and I would say, even a little bit further on top of that, we're probably going to see William Nylander on that first power play unit. My guess would be over Nazem Kadri.
This is going to be really interesting to see over the next week or so, because at that top 100 forward list, right outside, we had a bunch of Maple Leafs. We had Marleau, Zach Hyman, who, remember, played last season a lot with Nylander and Matthews. So that's something that could potentially help his cause. That said, he's settling in very nicely on a line with Mitchell Marner and John Tavares, so maybe he sticks there. There's also Nazem Kadri. The big question for him is, after being bumped down to the third line after Matthews' return, does Kadri still play on that first power play unit, or does Nylander take that from him as well? So that's something as well to monitor on Kadri's front.
Right, and like I said, I think Nylander's got that over Kadri. No, I mean, it's really no question in my mind. And I doubt that they try and do two power play units. I just don't see the appeal of that when you have such a great offense. I don't see why you wouldn't need to break it up over two and then run the risk of one power play unit getting hot, then the other fading out, and then you just created a lopsided balance.
And that's what they did last year, and it didn't work out. Remember, Matthews had bad power play totals. Nylander somehow still had 61 points for the second year in a row, despite being on that second or 1A power play unit with Matthews. That didn't pan out. And also on the power play, if it does go to that two-unit mix, that could potentially benefit Jake Gardner, who stands to reap the rewards in general just from all this depth scoring for the Maple Leafs.
Speaking of his point total in back-to-back seasons, where do you think his ceiling is this year? He can play a maximum of 55 games.
I think he has a shot at 40 to 45 points. That's to be realistic. A ceiling is point a game, and we've seen that exposure to John Tavares for Mitchell Marner. He's at a point per game or better, speaking of Marner, and certainly we've seen what Austin Matthews, even from the Zach Hyman front last year and the previous year during their rookie seasons, he was on pace to be, I think, about a 55 point guy, even though it was totally at even strength, Zach Hyman, if they had both played a full season. So I think that Nylander's ceiling is at a point a game. It's that simple. We wouldn't have put him back into the top 50 right off the bat, and we had him slot in those rankings right behind red-hot Max Pacioretty and right ahead of a duo in Rickard Rakell and Ryan Getzlaff that's been performing well of late, and the Ducks playing really well, but we're still giving Nylander that edge in the forward rankings.
I think his ceiling is higher than point per game. I think he'll probably hit 61 points again. It's kind of a gut feeling, but with scoring up the way it is with the Toronto Maple Leafs, because they're loaded, I think it looks more along the lines of multi-point performances. And I think with Austin Matthews playing the way that he is and having that elite playmaking ability, my prediction for the rest of the season is that Matthews emerges as the better option over Tavares. And then William Nylander gets a huge bump up too. And who knows, maybe he could match his season total for 2 years straight.
And we had Matthews one spot ahead of Tavares in the preseason. When Matthews came back and had the three-point game, we moved him back ahead of Tavares as he rejoined the overall scheme of things last week. As far as sleeper options for this position before we move on, Andreas Janssen is one name that maybe is very low ownership out of all these guys. Hyman's owned in most leagues. Marlowe's owned in most leagues. Jake Gardner's owned in most leagues. But Janssen maybe has some against the grain appeal. If they go with him and Kapanen over Nylander, or even if they go with Janssen and Nylander and Matthews, that's going to be really interesting to see, and maybe a dark horse storyline.
Yeah, they could do a little situation where they put Janssen there and kind of go with the run and gun style line, or maybe then Marlowe goes down to the third line with Kadri as like the defensive responsibility line, the experienced vets on that one. So that would be a cool trend to see. And one thing I think we should note before we move on here is Jake Gardner is a player that I think is an indirect beneficiary of this signing. He's been a little cold as of late. I know he's out there in almost 60% of leagues now, which is surprising. Anybody on that Maple Leafs team, if they're available, I'm interested about, you know, picking them up on the waiver wire. So I think Jake Gardner could have a nice second half of the season here. And remember, he's in a contract year.
And even if you're dealing with an injured player or just trying to make an addition in a shallow league, I mean, right now on the blue line to begin with, across the league, there's Dustin Byfuglien out with a concussion and Alex Pietrangelo out long-term with a hand injury. So in addition to those short-term in-house replacement options, certainly Jake Gardner, if he's available, is one of the prime waiver wire adds at the defenseman position.
So to recap, William Nylander, his value is limitless right now. So much so that I would almost venture to say you could probably sell high on him before he even debuts for the Maple Leafs this season, and you may be able to get a top 25 player a la Nicholas Backstrom, Jonathan Marchessault out of William Nylander right now.
And even a guy that might be slumping a little bit, like we moved Sebastian Aho down. I know it's maybe not a hot commodity right now, but you could really cash in on William Nylander's value. That was a great idea that you brought to the table right before the podcast. And I think that people can explore those options, because even if William Nylander is with Austin Matthews, he's the fourth best forward on the Toronto Maple Leafs, probably behind Tavares, Matthews, and Marner.
Right. I couldn't agree anymore. Other big news around the NHL, we have some injuries. We always have some injuries to talk about. This week, though, Ilya Kovalchuk seems to be out for 4 weeks with an ankle injury. He's been held without a point in 11 straight games prior to the injury. So really, for fantasy owners, this was probably a bench or drop situation already. But now when you look at the Los Angeles Kings, you're really only looking at two, maybe three of their forward group from a fantasy standpoint, if you include Jeff Carter in that. I'm not seeing a whole lot else here.
For the LA Kings right now, it's Quick, who's coming off a shutout in his second game back, so that's appealing. And it's Kopitar and Dustin Brown on the same line. Dustin Brown has become a must-own player again for the second straight year. After a little pedestrian start, he's covering categories in a big way. So Ilya Kovalchuk, we just knocked him out of the top 100 forwards last week, and now he's out for the Kings for the foreseeable future. So that's unfortunate. That situation really hasn't been working out. He was playing in a limited role, third line, for a decent portion of the past couple of weeks. So unfortunate to see that. I know we had big expectations for him. We thought his ceiling maybe was 65, 70 points. That's kind of out the window right now.
To put a positive bow on that situation, maybe he does come back in a month, month and a half. The LA Kings are trending up in the second half, and they're making a push for maybe the eighth seed there. So don't, you know, completely write that one off, but I think fantasy owners have already sort of moved on from this ship already. And probably we should talk about a bigger injury here is Philip Forsberg, expected to be out 4 to 6 weeks. Really, really hurts that already scarce left wing position.
It's too bad, because Nashville is dealing with a slew of injuries right now, in addition to Forsberg, which is the big blow now. PK Subban, we haven't really heard much about him. He's been out for more than a few games now. Victor Arvidsson, also Kyle Turris. So the lines have changed drastically. Ryan Johansson takes a dip in value. He's playing with Kevin Fiala, who has increased value now with Forsberg and Arvidsson off Johansson's line, and Ryan Hartman rounds out that unit. But then the big interesting note for me, Eli Tolvanen comes up from the AHL, has a chance to do some damage, and has already done so in his first game with a goal and an assist.
I wrote about him in the top 10 rookies for fantasy hockey this season, thinking that he was a lock to make that lineup out of training camp. That wasn't the case, and we had to wait a little bit of time to see it. Well, that time has now arrived, and I'm as high on him as I was in the preseason. I see no reason why he can't come in, given the right opportunity, the right amount of minutes, make an immediate impact on that Predators team. And going back to what you said about Ryan Johansson, how it hurts his value, I'm not sold on that just yet. I think that if Tolvanen gets bumped up there, or maybe Fiala gets bumped up there, I think Ryan Johansson's a capable player where he'll be okay in that situation. So Tolvanen, yeah, I'm high on him. And Fiala, I'm high on him too. It's just going to be hard to sort of pick which one if I had to guess right now on Monday before we see what they really use against the Sabres. I think I would say Tolvanen number one and Fiala two.
And check what happens Tuesday morning if you're listening to this episode at that time. I think this is an interesting development. Fiala has gotten many chances on that top line and in the top six. This is Tolvanen's chance to splash at the NHL level and stick there even when everybody comes back. And we should note that Nashville, most teams would not be able to survive this many injuries, but they have a strong defense, the top-ranked goalie in fantasy, Pekka Rinne, a strong backup, and a deep forward group. We mentioned all those guys, Sissons, Yarncroak, Austin Watson. They've been having hat tricks this year. These guys, it's now or never. They really need to step up and be more consistent in the absence of all these top forwards.
Let's look outside of Nashville, though. If you don't feel comfortable going with the Tolvanen route or with the Fiala route, let's go outside. Let's look at Toronto Maple Leafs. We talked about them already earlier. I know in one league, Patrick Marleau, that we're in together, he's available. So Patrick Marleau's out there. Zach Hyman's out there. You could even look at Nick Schmaltz now for the Arizona Coyote, who seems to really be gelling well with Clayton Keller and Alex Galchenyuk. Maybe Andre Palatter, Alex Killorn, if you fancy the Lightning. Do you have anybody else that comes to mind?
I really like Schmaltz there out of that whole group, because I think that it's a guessing game with the Toronto Maple Leafs, because ultimately, no matter how many times you project line combinations, you can't guess what Mike Babcock's going to do, and he just might get creative with this thing. So take a wait-and-see approach on that. Keep your keen eye on Eli Tolvanen, but in the meantime, add Nick Schmaltz, because he's playing with Alex Galchenyuk and Clayton Keller and has back-to-back multi-point games for a Coyotes team that is trending in the right direction in the absence of Antti Raanta, which is great to see for them, because it's always injuries doom their season. Road play dooms their season. They've had some big road wins in the past month.
And the same theme I would apply to the Tampa guys that we mentioned, Palat and Killorn, with John Cooper there always shuffling the lines. Those are very safe streaming options, and I have no problem putting one of those guys in my starting lineup any given week, but you have to know what you're getting into. The ceiling is only so high when there's elite, elite talent on both the offense and the defense there.
And another thing I wanted to mention, if you're in a hits league, which is now the standard Yahoo format, Zach Hyman hits and Andre Palat hits. So maybe that narrows down your decision-making a little bit.
That's how I've made a lot of my decisions in Yahoo leagues this year. I always just go to the end of the box score and look at hits, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to give the edge to the guy that hits. And more often than not, it seems to work out, because you're like, okay, I have an excuse to hang on to that guy. Like Jamie Oleksiak for the Pittsburgh Penguins is a good example of that. It's hard to get rid of him because he's getting 5, 6, 7 hits in one individual game, and then you're already on your week-to-week matchup. You're looking pretty with that already. Another injury note, Alex Pietrangelo and Robbie Fabbri were both placed on IR for the St. Louis Blues. Kind of a bummer there, because Pietrangelo was really starting to trend up in the last couple of games. I know it's not a big sample size, but I was a believer that they could have turned that thing around. And Robbie Fabbri, just on a personal note, that's kind of sad to see year after year him go down and see this happen. So any fantasy stock that you have left in the Blues, I would sell.
Yeah, it's different injuries every time. It was a groin, the two knee injuries for Fabbri, and now I believe a separated shoulder. So that's really disheartening from a Blues standpoint. And they were already a team in your team power rankings last week. I think they were down to 4 fantasy relevant players in the top 200, and that was including Alex Pietrangelo. So really tough times for the Blues. They're right at the bottom of the NHL standings, right near the Kings.
And they started in those same rankings in the top 15 preseason because they had so much upside, so much potential. Unfortunate to see it not click there, but hey, here we are in December. What are you going to do? It's too late at this point. A positive injury note, Charlie McAvoy for the Bruins. He's been out since October 18th with a concussion. It looked like he was going to come back 2 or 3 weeks ago at this point. Well, on Monday, he skated in full practice with contact, could play in their game Tuesday against the Panthers. If he plays, is he in your lineup?
Yeah, fellow Long Islander. I love that he's finally back healthy. I would try to work him in, especially keep an eye on Torrey Krug. Torrey Krug was out before McAvoy was injured. Then Krug came back. Now Krug took a maintenance day on Monday, so you just never know. But certainly Charlie McAvoy, one of the better young, even strength defensemen in the entire NHL. And if his price point is in the mid-range, I would certainly roster him at the Florida Panthers in a potential high-scoring game.
Speaking of the Panthers, I do have a member of their team in my lineup. And the lineup that I'm crafting on this Tuesday, I'm going to do a little experimental style. I notice that when I'm listening to a lot of these other DFS podcasts or just fantasy podcasts in general, I'm noticing a lot of high ownership guys, kind of guys that you can pick any given night and they'll perform. I want to hit the home run on Tuesday. I want to do some low ownership plays. And I'm looking at Jared McCann for the Florida Panthers. He's their second line center. But it's not him I'm really looking at. It's more so Yevgeny Dadonov, who has been one of my fantasy standouts in a season-long league that I'm in, really carrying the ship week to week. He's on a 5-game point streak, and McCann is bound to pick up some of that production alongside of him. Do you think that's too low? I mean, he's probably priced at $3,400, $3,500. He might be one of the cheapest players on the slate.
So yeah, with Vincent Trocheck out of the lineup for the long term, this is a great opportunity for McCann to show what he's worth to the Panthers. They have some other young options in their system, but he's there in the here and now and has a chance to provide streaming value and DFS worth for a low price in FanDuel.
And his stat line, just it's not like he's coming out of nowhere. He's got 3 goals, 11 shots on goal in the past 5 games. But more encouraging to me, he's playing 15 minutes per game. And like I mentioned, getting exposure to those kind of high-end guys, and not to go make maybe a little bit more of a point here, Keith Yandel and Aaron Ekblad are both two defensemen that keep trending up, up, and up. They're inching their way up my top 50 D ranks. And if I can get exposure to either one of them on a slate, for $3,500, to me, this is really looking like a lineup lock.
One trend for the Florida Panthers that I'm really excited about is Jonathan Huberdeau back on the top line with Alexander Barkov and Mike Hoffman, who's a new addition this season. But that line has hit a home run the past 2 games for Florida. They had a huge game against the Buffalo Sabres to add to their brief losing streak. So that was a big overtime performance by Huberdeau and Barkov. And Jonathan Huberdeau, very quietly, multi-point games in 5 straight and 6 of his past 7. He was the hottest player, the biggest mover in our forward rankings this week. Take full notice of him and keep the ball rolling. Maybe a guy to spend up for in this game against Boston, who's still dealing with major injuries.
And Florida, to me, is still a team that I'll always speak highly of just because they have so much fantasy potential. Whether they live up to it at the end of the season or not remains to be seen. We've seen some ups and some downs from them. But to me, I'm still going to stand in their corner. I'm still going to go to bat for them. And it starts with Jared McCann on Tuesday against the Bruins. Another player that I'm looking at, though, Pete, in my lineup, and I think it's going to be low ownership. I know you do watch this team from time to time. I'm looking at the New York Islanders, a team that on this podcast we haven't had a lot to say about because I think Matthew Barzell, number one, is not, you know, lighting it up completely this season. But quietly, he's got 22 points in 25 games. I'm looking away from his line, though, and I'm looking at Anders Lee as my wing of the night, quietly producing very well.
And he's doing it in the past couple of games, and the Islanders just, I mean, they're going to be playing this game at Barclays Center, but I wanted to give them a shout out for a magnificent return comeback win at the Nassau Coliseum. They're going to be splitting their games from here on out. I think actually they have even more games at the Coliseum than at Barclays Center the rest of the way. But on the Winnipeg side, they had a big comeback win against the Rangers on Sunday. Dustin Byfuglien is out of the lineup it sounds like he has a concussion. So Josh Morrissey, once again, like he was earlier in the year, becomes a must-own defenseman off the waiver wire. He has points in back-to-back games, nice shot volume, huge workload, 28-plus minutes in each of the three games that Bufflin has been out.
So this is the end of Winnipeg's New York, as I like to call it, even though New Jersey's in there too. It's the end of their New York road trip. I think, to me, that signifies that they might not get up as easily for this game. They've kind of been... And look, the New York teams this year are competitive, so it's not like this is a cakewalk for them. But to me, you know what? They're coming at the end of their road trip. Mark Scheifele, Blake Wheeler both playing well. Patrick Laine, what is there to say about it? But something about this New York Islanders team, to me, says that they compete every single night, largely in credit for Barry Trotz and the coaching staff there. But that's why I like Lee in this game. He's got 5 points, 3 goals, 2 assists, 16 shots on goal in his past 5 games. And in DFS, his price is around $5,000 to $6,000. You can find some serious value if you put him in your lineup.
And it's one thing to say that the Islanders skaters could produce, which they could any given night, one of the best offenses in the league last year, and they're bringing it this year as well, even with the defensive system. But I saw that you have your eye on Thomas Greiss, which is a lot braver of a pick than Anders Lee. So what's your take on Thomas Greiss, and do you think he could really shut down this Jets high-powered offense?
So he's 3-0-1 in his last 4 games. That's a great record, and I, you know what? I'm not as concerned about the save percentage in this one as I am just about the W. Like I mentioned, you guys kind of doing a little bit of an experiment lineup here, and if I've made you some money so far, I would try playing this one. There's something about Thomas Greiss too that in the spotlight in these games he seems to rise to the occasion. I think he wants that number one job over Robin Lehner, which is still a battle at this point, but I think this is we have to give the edge to Greiss at this point in the regular season. And the Islanders have a legitimate chance here to put their foot down, just like Barry Trotz walked into that Washington locker room the other day and said, you guys are going to have to come through the island. That is the mentality this year, and it's every night that they're on the slate. I'm looking at New York with some intriguing value.
Barry Trotz has some guts. I love that mentality that he's instilled in the Islanders. Just for them to be competitive past Thanksgiving is an enormous achievement for New York. Outside replacement options, though, we did want to get them for Dustin Bufflin and Alex Pietrangelo. Some guys we wrote down, Oscar Klefbom has been hot for the Oilers, Morrissey and Trouba, whichever one, they both played major minutes for the Jets. Who are some other guys that you're taking a look at? I know that you've been writing about and monitoring Mike Green. I know he's probably near the top of your list of replacements.
Mike Green is at the top of my list of replacements, 14 points in 18 games. I would even say if he's not available in your league, this is a player I would look to trade for. I was looking at more of a deep dive on Detroit today, trying to come up with some cool things, and the connection between him and Larkin is really astonishing to me. I saw that Larkin ranks 18th in the NHL in shots on goal with 92 this season, and any power play exposure that those bring together, I'm all over that. So I look at Detroit with sort of the same lens as I look at the Islanders, where not a lot of people are zeroing in on those teams every night. To me, I'm all over that. I'm going to pick the good players on those teams that go under the radar.
I think Larkin has proven over the past 2 years since he's moved to center, he's a bona fide number one center. He's a great building block for this Red Wings team. And we talk so much about how Montreal has been a surprise. Ottawa has been a surprise offensively, even on their blue line. But Detroit is extremely competitive. They just won at Boston. So this is a team that we can tap into on a night-to-night basis any given night, and they have some immense value.
And they play the Lightning on Tuesday. It's a home game for the Red Wings, so there is some intrigue there. Now, the one thing I do want to caution fantasy and DFS players about, Tyler Bertuzzi was supposed to have a hearing on Monday. He could be suspended for this. We're not sure yet, but it probably won't affect your season-long lineups. He's not that high ownership. But in DFS, if you were looking for a value play, you might want to turn to Athanasiou here, who has cooled off a little bit in recent weeks but still has that great speed that can get you some points.
And a good shot volume for Athanasiou. He's in that just-missed section of our top 100 forward rankings. Has been there for a few weeks now. One interesting line note, I know they were throwing out the idea of Matthew Joseph on that line with Yanni Gourde and Steven Stamkos, but fear not, it's been Andre Palat. We mentioned him a bit earlier. What's your take on this guy? Can he bring any consistency, or is he more of a DFS flyer night to night?
He can bring consistency, and I would have no hesitation to pick him up in any season-long league. It's unfortunate that he's not available to me off the waiver wire. We have some real sharks in the leagues that we're in together, Pete, but Andre Palat really does have a lot of potential, and I think if the Lightning do settle into these lines, and the phrase settle in, which I mean is they've been shuffling a ton over the first 2 months of the regular season. If they can just lock in Palat to that top six role, have him play 15 minutes a night with Stamkos, I see his ceiling being pretty high.
Palat traditionally has played more with like Kucherov and Johnson. Of course, they were the triplets line, but Stamkos could use a little lift here. Most of his production's on the power play. We've been talking about this for months now, dating back to the playoffs. I know that was one of your favorite storylines in the postseason. He still brings that rocket shot on the power play, but at even strength as a standalone, week to week in our forward rankings, he continues to take a dive.
It's sort of like when we were talking about Evgeny Malkin earlier, how we were looking at the box scores the past couple. Even if you're watching Pittsburgh, I have to be honest, you just don't notice the flash of 71 speeding down the wing, carrying the puck anymore. You're kind of, they're missing that presence. Meanwhile, you're seeing Crosby battling every shift. You're seeing Jake Guentzel now emerging there, but you're not seeing Evgeny Malkin, which means you're not seeing anyone else on his line either. We're speaking about Tanner Pearson, who we were talking about 2 weeks ago when that trade went through. Now we're talking about dropping him. So it's just funny how quickly things can change in fantasy hockey.
And how quickly things have changed pertaining to Daniel Sprong. He was supposed to be their prized prospect, maybe get a chance to play on the wing of Sidney Crosby. It never really materialized, and he was actually traded on Monday to the Anaheim Ducks. So before we get to this Avalanche-Penguins game, the rematch from last week where Crosby had the hat trick, Daniel Sprong goes to Anaheim. The first thing that pops into my mind is, can he be the source of stability, maybe to play with Raquel and Getzlaf?
And I've always said this, it doesn't matter who plays with Raquel and Getzlaf. They're worth a flyer in DFS. They're worth a short-term or injury replacement stream in season long. So my thought on this would be, yes, he can. Now, I'm a little bit jaded on this because I've written about Daniel Sprong before, because I've wanted to see him take this step. And what's funny about it is he was actually skating with Crosby and Guentzel at practice on Monday before he was traded. So really, up until the last second when he was packing his bags, nothing stuck there.
And Hornquist and Phil Kessel are the guys that play with Malkin. So because it didn't really ever work out with Crosby, he was more relegated to the bottom six or the AHL. So that was never a good look for Daniel Sprong. But he gets a fresh start in Anaheim. I would definitely keep a close eye on him moving forward. But as for this Colorado-Pittsburgh game, so Mikko Rantanen every single night is worth spending up for. But they get a nice injury news pertaining to Tyson Barry, who's missed the past four games. He's probably going to be back on Tuesday at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's been a brutal home team this year. This is a nice opportunity for the Avs to get going, especially on the power play.
I'm excited to see Barry back, and even though the Avs have still played well in his absence, he makes a big difference on their power play. And I found a cool stat today. Colorado has the best power play since the start of the 1977-78 season. They're converting at over 32% entering December. That's pretty hard to top. And Tyson Barry just gives them that extra edge on the power play. And so I was looking at this power play today. I'm thinking, how can you get exposure to this power play in season-long leagues in December? The only way, and this is not going to excite anybody, would be to trade for Colin Wilson at this point. And because he's the fifth guy on that unit right now. Sometimes they put Tyson Jost there too, but really that doesn't excite me. So I think the ship has sailed on that one. If you don't have those guys, you're probably not getting them.
And weren't they putting Matt Calvert there earlier in the year, or Nieto? They just can't seem to get that fifth spot filled out consistently, but it hasn't mattered. I mean, these guys are continue to move up week to week. I think we moved up Rantanen into number six overall behind the top dogs of consistency year after year. So Rantanen continues to sparkle. Tyson Barry is going to be relevant right from the get-go. He's probably going to be in that 5,000 range among defensemen. So keep an eye out for him in FanDuel. One last note on this Pittsburgh game. Matt Murray could potentially return. Do you have any faith in Matt Murray? I've been high on this guy for the past 2 years, but I'm almost at the point where I'm ready to give up and cut my losses with trying to advocate for buying low on Matt Murray with all the injuries and the different absences. I mean, it seems like the last couple of games he was playing, he was probably bothered by an injury because he didn't look right.
I have players like that too, where I will go to bat for them. but you need to come over to the dark side with me here and, and face the fact that Matt Murray will never be, even if he's picking up the wins, he will never be a top 10 fantasy hockey goalie because his save percentage is always so low. And look at Casey DeSmith. This is how you know that he just, the upside's just not there. Casey DeSmith came in, was 3-1-1, so respectable. That's when Pittsburgh, by the way, was going through all of these other injuries. Justin Schultz is still out. He's been out since mid-October. Casey DeSmith, 3-1-1 with a .907 save percentage in five games when Matt Murray was out. And if you watch any of those games, Casey DeSmith made some remarkable saves. He kept them in some of those games. And the reason they won three of those is because of their high potent offense. So really, it has nothing to do with their goaltender there.
Their defense has been off for a few years now, even dating back to their postseason championship, one of the 2 years when they didn't have Chris Letang. I still will never know how they ran the table in that postseason. They won that crazy series against the Capitals where they were outshot heavily. But one thing pertaining to their defense, Justin Schultz is still out, so that never helps things. He's a good two-way defenseman who came along in his career after moving from the Oilers to Pittsburgh, and he's a big loss for that defense and for the fantasy value of Matt Murray.
Let's turn our attention to Flames at Blue Jackets. The Calgary Flames have been playing well. We've seen Mike Smith come in and win a game, make some good saves. We saw David Riddick kind of maybe take a back seat now. Now we're back in the Mike Smith camp here. But for Calgary, I wanted to highlight one player in particular for DFS contest. It's Michael Backlund. He should be in your guys' lineups at this point. He's got 5 points in his past four games, four blocks, and 8 shots on goal. For a player in the low fours or high threes in terms of thousands, man, that is really solid coverage.
And the best part is he's playing with Matthew Tkachuk, and that's been a line that has been intact even going back to last year. I mean, Tkachuk, for all his early career success, it's come mostly away from Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau at even strength, which is a testament to him, but also a testament to Backlund and his consistency in the faceoff circle and ability to set up Matthew Tkachuk for all the stat categories that he provides.
And speaking of Monahan, he moved up into the top 35 in the top 100 forwards. Really nice to see that. He was banged up last year with multiple. He had four different surgeries at the end of last season. So great recovery story for Monahan there. 3 points in his past two games. Originally, Pete, I was tempted to take Columbus in this game. I was looking at Sergei Bobrovsky in particular, who's 7-2-0 with a .928 save percentage in his past nine games. But, you know, that would just be contradictory to my lineup mentality on Tuesday, which is sort of low ownership play. So while I like Bob in this spot against the Flames on the road, I would probably turn elsewhere just to save a couple bucks.
Yeah, you mentioned Mike Smith is kind of trending up. I think this is a spot I would kind of trust your original instinct. I think that Sergei Bobrovsky will probably win this game. 75% chance he wins this game just because the Flames have some game-to-game inconsistency, and I wouldn't lock into Mike Smith trending up for the rest of the season. I think there are still some bumps in the road.
What you just said about the Flames game-to-game inconsistency is originally why I circled this game on the lineup and said I need to get Columbus in there. And I was even looking at Cam Atkinson as a spend up for as well. So I think you're right. I'm back in the camp where you should start Sergei Bobrovsky. And sometimes on these slates, you just have to spend up to get that almost guaranteed win. And if you put it at 75%, that's pretty good in my book.
And we always look at value picks and guys to spend up for. But there are always the lineup fillers where if they hit your price point, roster them every single night. That applies in this game to Pierre-Luc Dubois and Cam Atkinson. These guys just keep rolling every single night on that Columbus top line.
They do. So the Sabres are one of the teams that's on a second of a back-to-back on Tuesday. They play at home against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Is it too early to get Willie Nylander in your lineup? I don't even know if he's going to play in the game.
He might play in this game. I think that if you hit your price point, I would be more inclined to go for whoever plays on that line on the left side, whether it's Zach Hyman, if he reunites with the two of them, they played together last year, or Patrick Marleau, who has been the most frequent left wing of Austin Matthews when Matthews has been healthy this season. So I would go that route. I wouldn't go all in on Nylander. You mentioned some of their concerns. He hasn't been skating at a game pace in quite some time. So I would probably fade William Nylander here. I'm excited about this game because this is the future of the Atlantic Division, clearly clearly the best division in the NHL right now. And between Dahlin, Matthews, Marner, Nylander, if he does play, Jack Eichel, Jeff Skinner, maybe he'll re-sign. This could be a great rivalry for the years to come, and this is the first meeting of the season between these two teams.
It is, and I think I'm going to fade both sides so that I can just sit on my couch and enjoy watching this game and not be sweating it out for any of my lineups. But one note about the Sabres, they're probably going to turn to Linus Ullmark, who, because they're starting Carter Hutton against the Predators on Monday, so Ullmark would make sense on Tuesday. He had 40 saves on 43 shots faced against the Florida Panthers for a .930 save percentage. He's playing really well, so there's a little season-long undertone there where if you can handcuff Hutton and Ullmark, if you own Hutton and Yahoo, you might as well pick Ullmark up at this point and start him. Again, this would be a fade against the Maple Leafs, but any other game situation, I would have no problem putting Ullmark in there to get a start too.
And something else to look at for this game. So they're very close in proximity, Toronto and Buffalo. There have been the past couple of years a ton of Maple Leafs fans at these games, and that's no knock on the Sabres. The Sabres have been a bottom feeder. Expect it to be a back-and-forth game, not only on the ice, but also in the crowd. I expect the Maple Leafs to win this game, especially with the Sabres on the second of a back-to-back after playing Nashville and that road trip in Florida. This is going to be a really tough game for Buffalo to win. I would say very high likelihood Toronto takes this one on the road, close to home at the same time.
I like that prediction, Pete. Let's turn north of the border. Senators at Canadiens. The only thing I have to say about this game, because this is another one that I will personally enjoy watching, the one thing I want to say to everybody out there, if you haven't seen the clip yet, watch the highlight of Shea Weber ripping a slap shot from the blue line, and it broke Martin Jones's goalie stick in half. This guy has a cannon.
I would roster him. He's my defenseman of the night. It's probably going to be in the mid 5,000 range, maybe even a little cheaper. He has 2 goals, 1 assist, 11 shots on goal in 3 games, and is an absolute beast. He seems healthy, seems re-energized, and is bringing a lot to Montreal to keep them in this postseason hunt. And then another defenseman on the other side, it seems like Thomas Chabot's price never really has skyrocketed, even though he has 31 points in 27 games. So even if you want to tap into this game by drafting both your defensemen from the game with Chabot and Weber, I think it's a great strategy.
And Weber's really the reason I haven't sold all my stock in this Habs team for this the remainder of the season. I think Price has a higher ceiling with him in the lineup. I think the forwards have a higher ceiling in the lineup. And when you're looking at it through a fantasy lens, you have to look at the game mechanics here. Nobody on the Ottawa Senators on Tuesday is going to be wanting to stand in the way of Shea Weber's shots. So look at Montreal's forwards with a glimmer of hope, too. Some upside. Domi's been trending down lately. Drouin's been trending up. But this can easily be the other way, too, where both of these forwards are going to get some deflection goals. They're going to get some juicy rebounds from all those Weber shots at the point.
So much of our talk has been about defensemen in this show. We were talking about McAvoy, Byfuglien, Tyson Barry, all these guys, Shea Weber, now a few games into his return. One low ownership defenseman and one of the only ones of note on the entire landscape is Alexander Edler, who I know you're really high on. Now he's back from injury, and the Canucks host the Minnesota Wild, one of the toughest teams in the league, but I know that Edler, you're very high on for this particular night as well.
I have Edler in my lineup yet again. He has 2 points. That's 1 goal, 1 assist, 7 blocks, and 10 shots on goal in his past 3 games. The blocks is what put it over the top for me with Edler. That's normally not his staple in his game. He's almost viewed as a power play specialist at this point in his career. He's getting it done. He's getting some nitty-gritty stats in DFS, and hey, those blocks and shots, even if he doesn't get on the scoreboard, that's going to get you in the maybe championship, maybe top 20 window in a DFS slate.
That'll get you in the money range. If you draft a Shea Weber who has a high floor and also an Alexander Edler who gets the peripherals even when he doesn't score, and Brock Besser's back, there's so much to like about rostering maybe even those two, a cheaper option than the other one that I mentioned before of Chabot and Weber. Cheaper alternative is Edler and Weber.
I do just want to sing some praise here for the other team, the Wild, and specifically Mikhail Granlund. No one is talking about him this season. He has 7 points, 1 goal, 6 assists in his past 5 games. And I know we've talked a lot about Zach Parise and is that sustainable. We've looked at, you know, Eric Staal this season. We've looked at Jason Zucker. We talk about Matthew Dumba a lot. But Granlund's really the player that's the driving engine of this team on any given slate. And at this point in your lineup, if you feel okay spending up for him, he's worth the price point that he's delivering every night.
I had him on my team down the stretch last season. I loved having him, and he's just always been the quiet breakout player, and he sustained that breakout from a couple of years ago. So yeah, I think we all need to look at Granlund in a different light compared to the rest of the league. I know Minnesota plays more of a defensive style, maybe not always the easiest to digest if you're just looking for scoring in these games, but they're a formidable team, one of the deepest at every position, and I love what Zach Parise's brought. Very few guys in any of our rankings this year continue to move up every single, whether it be little by little, very few. It's always big jumps, then steps back. Zach Parise, it seems like every single week this guy's moving up 3, 4, 5 spots, and all of a sudden he's risen pretty high in our ranks.
And the same thing in my defenseman rankings with Matt Dumba. He's gradually 1+, 2+, 3+. All of a sudden he's in the top 10, and you're like, wait, how did that happen? Well, it's been happening each and every week of the regular season. But turning away from a fantasy storyline here, the Washington Capitals are headed back to Las Vegas to play the Golden Knights. They haven't been back there since walking away with the trophy after Game 5. Is this a DFS game for you that you're targeting, or are you going to sit, again, same type of theme, and just watch this one?
This is going to be a fun one, especially I think that game that slipped away for the Washington Capitals against the Anaheim Ducks is really going to light a fire under this team. They're still without TJ Oshie, but this is a monster lineup with Kuznetsov and Backstrom. Backstrom's been playing out of this world lately. He entered our top 20 forward rankings this week. Perennial underrated player, maybe one of the most underrated players of all time in this sport. But I think that the Capitals will come to play in this game. Certainly, I would spend up for an Ovechkin who continues to prove his worth every single night with the shot volume and the goals and even the assists. But from Vegas's side, any of those guys that fit your profile, from, I know William Karlsson, I think, has a goal in 4 straight games, so even he's heating up. Marchessault brings the shot volume. I would try to work in a player from each of these two teams if you can, if they fit your price point. And Jacob Vrana is always that, as long as he's playing with Kuznetsov, always that sneaky breakout candidate any given night.
I think you nailed it saying to pick a player on both sides, because I can easily see the Caps getting up for this game. Just as I can say, you know, Vegas is going to rally in that locker room before the game and say, boys, you know, this is the team that beat us last year, you know, yada, yada, yada. But I agree, get one from each side so that you hit on a potentially high-scoring game on the slate.
And you've picked him so often lately. How about this goal streak for Tom Wilson? He didn't get suspended for that questionable hit the other day where he got the match penalty and was kicked out of the game. But he was not suspended, and the goals continue to come every single game. He has, what, 7 goals in his past 6 games?
Yeah.
This is Tom Wilson.
From a fantasy standpoint, because I knew I had him in, I on this podcast, I had him in my lineup on Saturday, and when I saw him lay that hit and get the match penalty, I'm thinking, uh-oh, because that's my fantasy pick. But then I'm like, you know what, he already has a goal. He already did his job. He's already on the board with a couple shots on goal, too. So there you go. You got great value for Tom Wilson, who played 6 minutes in that one.
He already returned value. That's the phrase we always use, return value. Tom Wilson doesn't even need to play a full game at this point to return value.
Fantasy value per minute is off the charts with Tom Wilson right now.
Absolutely. And one team that I really am excited to talk about, because we've both kept the faith with the Arizona Coyotes. We mentioned them a little bit earlier with Nick Schmaltz as a potential injury replacement for Philip Forsberg with that center left wing eligibility. How about these Arizona Coyotes? And I love them in this game in particular at the LA Kings on Tuesday. The Kings are short on offense. Kovalchuk out. Aiden Hill has really stepped up to the plate and done a tremendous job filling in for the injured Antti Raanta.
Yes, and he was in my lineup on Saturday. It just seems like when everything's going the wrong way for the Coyotes, they dig deep, they figure it out. Aiden Hill with a big shutout victory. He's got a 3-0-0 with a .984 save percentage in 3 games against good opponents, too. So against the Kings, the only thing that I have to caution fantasy owners on is that Jonathan Quick, now with his first win of the season, it came in shutout fashion. That's so Jonathan Quick. Even with the Kovalchuk injury, I think that the Kings are going to be circling this game saying, we need to win this. It's almost you hate to use this phrase in December, but it's almost a must win for them to keep this momentum up, to find any way to dig deep and get this team back on track.
I agree. If any goalie in the league is going to go on like a 2 or 3 game shutout streak just to will his team, put his team on their back, it is Jonathan Quick. He has a chance to do that in this spot. I just love how that top line is gelling, and I think it's eventually going to filter over to Alex Galchenyuk, who's on a 9-game goal drought. I think that comes to an end sooner than later and could certainly happen in this game.
He's a player I see getting hot, and just the overarching theme for the Coyotes here, before I get them back into my lineups, I want to see a multi-game stretch where they come to play, where they're scoring goals, where they're taking a lot of shots. Oliver Ekman-Larsson is a player that I have in season-long leagues, and he's just been a little bit too inconsistent in that stretch where he'll have a couple multi-point games, and then you don't hear from him. He'll go like 9 games without a point. He'll be -3 over the span, and it's really, really frustrating. So I'm a little bit worn thin on that trend. I love the Coyotes, and I will stand in the corner for them, but this is another game where I'd rather just take a pass, watch, see what that Schmaltz impact is, and if it's going to continue to trend up.
Schmaltz 4 points in his past 2 games, again with Galchenyuk and Clayton Keller. That line entered our top 25 line rankings this week, and Nick Schmaltz entered our top 100 forward list this week. So the Coyotes are on that up and up that we had some faith that they might be able to achieve. So now let's get right into our lineup. We've talked about a lot of these players so far. One that we haven't talked about, Colby Cave. I know he's a short-term streaming option with Patrice Bergeron out, but I like the appeal at the Florida Panthers as long as, check the morning skate on Tuesday. If he's with Pastrnak and Marchand, Marchand has been slumping lately, could see him having a bounce back 3 or 4 assist game, and Colby Cave had an assist the other day in that game against Detroit. And Florida, as long as Luongo's out, they could give up 4 or 5 goals any given night, even at home. So I'm going Colby Cave as my value center, and I know you have one as well.
Even though Jared McCann on the other side of the ice there is my value center, I don't have a problem with the Colby Cave play, and it all goes back to a player you mentioned, Brad Marchand, who I don't even think has hit close to his full stride this season. With as well as Boston's playing and how injury depleted they are, I think Marchand has more to give, and you're right, that could happen any given night. Now, I do like the Panthers in that game from a little bit of a, you know, their top guys are clicking, their defense is playing better standpoint, but I think you can choose any side of the tail there and not have an issue with it.
I wouldn't draft a Bruins goalie right now ahead of that game, as though I was talking about the negatives of Florida. But yeah, that offense is rolling right now. Even the Sabres, one of the hottest teams in the league, fell victim to the Barkov-Huberto line. And that line has been together. Barkov-Huberto-Hoffman has been together for the past 2 games. So we'll see if that sticks here. As for the wing, Patrick Marleau or Zach Hyman, check on Tuesday morning and see who's skating with Austin Matthews and draft that player in DFS. I couldn't be a simpler plan than that. I think they're going to return value. Matthews is an absolute beast and has multi-point potential every single night.
This is a game that Buffalo gets up for, though. Even though they're going to be on a second of a back-to-back, this really is a game that they're going to want to win. They're going to want to put their foot down and say, we belong in this Atlantic Division too.
Definitely could see that, but again, I'll pick the Maple Leafs. I'll side with them, especially if William Nylander returns, which as of recording on Monday evening, we are uncertain if Nylander is going to make his season debut after signing that 6-year contract on Saturday. Depth scoring of Toronto, I think, could easily overwhelm Buffalo in this game before we move on. I think that having Matthews and Tavares, the Sabres don't have the secondary scoring, at least for starters on the second of a back-to-back, to hang in this matchup. So that's why I really like whoever plays with Matthews on the left side. For defenseman Shea Weber, I have him. Ottawa's been outscored 61-38 on the road this year, and I love that peripheral coverage of shots on goal and block shots for Shea Weber.
You can't beat a Shea Weber play at this point in the season. My wing of the night, Anders Lee, New York Islanders. Again, as many DFS lineups and locks as we give you guys, I like to diversify it. I like to get a little creative, and I like to spend time talking about teams that we don't really talk about. So I'd have no problem rolling Anders Lee out. He's always a premier goal scorer in this league. He could hit 40 again with the way that he's playing right now. And I really do like that Islanders team in a metropolitan division where there are some spots open. And you bet Barry Trotz is going to be the one letting those guys know it.
So you're going with the Anders Lee, Thomas Greiss stack, forward and goalies.
I am. I really feel good about the Islanders in this game. And for anyone looking for a little additional insurance that listens to the program, the goalie master, Dave Satriano, will actually be in the stands at that one, praising his good luck charms on Thomas Greiss.
he hit that home run earlier in the season on Grice. So we're excited to see if Grice can come through again for DFS lineups. And then my goaltender, you mentioned yours was Grice. Mine is Aiden Hill. I'm riding the hot hand, assuming he starts with Antti Raanta still on the shelf, nearing a return, but probably not going to play. So I'll go Aiden Hill. Has three straight wins, two of them on the road. He came in relief, one at Minnesota, and then had that shocking win at Nashville. I think if he can beat the Predators on the road, and that was when they had Forsberg at the time, I think he can sure as heck beat the LA Kings on the road, a depleted team right now trending in the wrong direction.
And why wouldn't they keep riding the hot hand there? So I could definitely see them turning back to Aiden Hill. And then just to clarify, my defenseman of the night is Alex Edler. I like that spot against the Minnesota Wild. I think that's a close game. A couple goals scored either way. And you know what? Brock Besser now back in the lineup. I feel really strong about Alex Edler on the blue line.
And Besser had a two-goal game the other day. So, and Pettersson can go for four-plus points any given night. And Edler would get that exposure on the first power play.
Did you see in the Vancouver Canucks skills competition, Elias Pettersson had a slap shot 99 miles per hour. For a player of his frame and size, that is scary.
He is going to be a superstar right up there with Laine, Matthews, I think, in the years to come. That was a great get for Vancouver, and excited to see what the future holds for Pettersson and also the present.
So if you enjoy listening to our show today, please don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Google Podcasts, stream on Audioboom or Stitcher, and hey, leave us a review, 5 stars if you enjoy the product so far.
It was an awesome show, Rob. Thanks again, as always, and thanks to everybody for listening. Hit us up with your last-minute questions at NHL Jensen for me, at NHL Reese for Rob, and once again for NHL Fantasy on Ice. We'll talk to you again later in the week. Thanks so much for listening.